You're listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod with Kyle Rush and Ben Taylor.
What's up, everybody? We're back again. It's episode 266 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. Happy Monday. It's Kyle and Ben. We're ready to get your week started. What a weekend of golf. What a week of just golf chatter in general. So much went on. You had Riviera, Tiger making the cut, the Netflix series dropping, and we're going to talk about it all.
Yes.
Tonight's episode is brought to you by Bet Online, the number one sports betting website in the country. Sign up today, use coupon code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, and get a 50% welcome bonus. And then just go ahead and bet John Rahm for every single tournament for here for the rest of the year. You're going to hit at least three of them, I think, before the end of the year. And, you'll use the welcome bonus and you'll go ahead and stack up some winnings there. Sign up, like I said, sign up today, use coupon code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, get the bonus, have some fun, hit all the golf lines, basketball, whatever. I wonder if you could have bet, what do you think the over was tonight in the NBA All-Star game?
Oh, golly.
Like 400?
It's got to be. I mean, they're going to score easily 150 apiece. So yeah. It probably is close to
over under 300. I don't know.
It probably is somewhere between 280 and 300. Got to be.
It's incredible. Why do they do All-Star games anymore? Anyway.
At least the basketball one's more entertaining than football. Football just needs to stop.
Yeah. Didn't they put flags on the quarterback this year or something?
The whole thing was flagged.
Oh, even better.
Yeah, the whole thing was flagged. Like, there were players that were like, just give me my money. Just call me a pro bowler and give me my money.
Yep. You could probably bet on it, though, at BetOnline. So check them out. It's where the game starts. All right. Ben, sneaky people forget. I mean, I think when we talk about upcoming golf season, we never talk about the Genesis for whatever reason. And it's an absolute
– because it's sponsored by Genesis.
Yeah, maybe so. At Riviera, it's probably the best. I mean, it's easily like a top five top three non-major tournament. I mean, it's just – the course is just absolutely phenomenal. I mean,
my top five on courses, though, Riviera.
Yeah,
remember?
It did. It was an honorable mention for me. It was not in my top five, I don't believe. But so many good players, all of them at the top of the leaderboard. Then you had the Tiger in the mix, not in the mix like to win, but just like his name in the mix of the chatter. You had Tampon Gate. You had all kind of stuff. It was absolutely incredible. It did not let down. It's the most golf I've watched so far this year.
Really?
Most golf I've watched so far in 2023. And I will admit, most of it was Tiger. I watched pretty much his entire first two rounds. And that had a lot to do with it. And then I watched, obviously, the final round, the back nine, up until Homa bogeyed. I think it was 13. It was pretty tight. And then it's still tight after that. And then Rahm, he birdies the par threes. Like, what the heck? Like, those aren't even easy par threes. That's not easy holes to get shots back on. He birdies both par threes and wins his third time in five starts.
They have got to turn – if they're not going to mic him up, they've got to turn the sound up on being able to hear players.
Yeah.
On that last par three that he birdied, that he threw it up into the air, because I told Jess that they got to move the damn tees up. I'm tired of watching people land in the front of the green and roll off the back. That's just dumb.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Four at Riviera, as much as I love Riviera, four is the stupidest golf hole I've ever seen. And they did this, they have like this like plaque that says it's like a Ben Hogan plaque that's like, Ben Hogan quote, four is the greatest tough par three in golf. And I'm like,
he probably played it 100 yards shorter than what they're playing it.
240 to a shallow green that does not hold. Like, and the Kikuya, I've been waiting on the Kikuya. I knew it was coming at some point in time. It grabs your ball. So you can't land short and run it up on the green.
Nope.
So you're essentially either going to play short and chip up, or you're going to play long and chip back. I mean,
you're going to be putting from the fringe. Like, you're not going to have a ball on the green.
I wonder if anybody birdied it by putting. Like, I'm sure some people may have chipped in, but like, dumb. I mean, it's just
none of the main guys did that came through. I'm sure somebody did that they didn't show on television throughout the day because they talked about the birdies that had that. But even Sahith Theegala, he chipped in for his birdie today, and it was short. He tried to run it up, and it came up short. Same thing with Colin. He did the same thing. I mean, talking about a guy that's, quote-unquote, the best iron play on tour, and he can't hit the green. Please.
Yeah. I did not like that.
And I told Kyle. I said, I texted Kyle on, I guess it was either Thursday or Friday, and I said, move the damn tees up so they can hit an 8 or a 9 or a 7 in. Because, look, I get it. I get that pros can hit 6 irons and 5 irons 245, depending on what the wind's doing. That's something I can't do. I mean, I'm hitting a frigging driver or a hard 3-wood 245.
I don't think many dudes were hitting. I think it was like the low irons you're seeing are like 4 irons, 3 irons into that thing, and none of it was sticking. None of it was sticking.
On Thursday, JT took a 5-wood so he could hit it higher.
You can hit a spinny 5. You can spin a 5-wood. You can hit a spinny 5.
And he still couldn't stop it.
This is
he
dumb.
Still landed it on the front of the green. It rolled off the back, and he was on the other tee box.
I saw. Yeah. Why is that what we want? Wood. Why do we want that?
I don't know. It's dumb. Kyle said it best. He said, this is a dumb hole. And it is. Like, I love Riv, but let me just tell you right now that you guys have got to fix 4. I mean, it's –
just set it up different, man.
You know the members are not playing from there. Members are probably playing at 135. It's probably 100 yards up. That tee box for members is probably 100 yards up. They're all probably holding it with 9 irons. But, you know, they get the pros out there. I told you that this went back to the last tournament. This is a tangent I'm going off that I didn't plan on doing. I told Kyle, I said, I am tired of them extending par 3s. You know what? Extend a par 5. Let make them hit driver off the deck. Let's see some of that. But the par 3s that you guys keep going, oh, they're hitting an 8-iron? Fine. Let's back it up to 260. Let's make them hit a 3 or a 5.
I heard them talking that there's a 3 there in the U.S. Open. This was Colt Knows. In the U.S. Yes. Open at L.A. Country Club, there's going to be a par 3 that's 300 yards.
It can play. He said it can play 300 yards if they decide to put the tee there. That's just dumb.
Yeah, it's not dumb if you can hit a shot that'll stay on the green. You know what I mean? Like, if you can hit a 3-wood or what, or a 5-wood or whatever, and it's got like an area that will pitch it up onto the green, that's fine. Like, that's skill. Like, when there's literally nothing you can do to keep it. Like, someone I was watching hit the biggest high cut you could. I think it was Scottie Scheffler hit a huge high cut, and I'm like, man, if that can't stay on the green and it hits on the front of the green and then just bounds off. Now, it didn't go far off the back, but bounds off the back. And it's like, there's nothing else you can do. Like, that was a perfectly executed golf shot. I don't know. But other than that, the term was great.
I just think the USGA and PGA need to realize you don't have to lengthen a hole to make it harder. If you remember in the U.S. Open last year, they were having troubles with that because it was so windy up there in Boston, that it was that short par 3 that was like 90 yards, and they were all hitting like knockdown sand wedges, and then the next day they were hitting 9 irons into there because the wind's always gusting, and they kept putting the pin on all 4 corners of the green. They wouldn't put one in the center. And there were guys that were making a ton of bogeys on that hole because they were either spinning it off the green or coming up short because the wind got them. Like Pebble, you've seen that one. That hole is 110 yards. And if it's downwind, you can hit a lob wedge. And if it's in your face, you can hit a driver. Like, that's how that works.
It's crazy.
And that particular at Riviera, I mean, I don't know, tuck the pin and move the tee up. Do something, but let's not make it 260 next year.
Yeah. I didn't enjoy it. I did not enjoy that hole. I was ready for it to get to the next. Ready to get to the next hole.
All right. That's my tangent on that. Got that out of the way.
Good deal. Let's move on. You want to talk? What do you want to talk? Tiger or John Rahm? What do you want to do?
We got to talk. You got to bring out the Tiger thing. I'm pissed
off.
Let's
go ahead and talk Tiger.
The tampon gate first off. Before we even talk about play,
you want to talk about tampon gate right off the bat.
Right off the bat.
Just go right in there.
That is. There's so many. I'm not going to say the woke people. I think it's people. I call this selective outrage, Kyle.
Yeah.
Let's
if you don't know what happened, was it the first round or the second round?
It was the first round.
First round. Okay. Tiger is pumping it past everybody. Okay. He's flying it way past JT.
He averaged 311 off the tee that day.
So at some point in the round, I think it was after the turn, because I think he got it at the turn.
He did. He got it.
So, okay. It was not on 10. I think it was on 11. He pumped one past him, or 12, whatever. I think it was 11 because 11 is a par five. He pumps one past him, and then you see him walk up and he sticks something in JT's hand, and JT looks at it and he throws it down, and then Tiger laughs and they hug each other. And you know, you don't know what it is. You think they're just joking around. Well, it comes out like apparently there's like this sniper camera catches Tiger putting a tampon in.
Well, it wasn't just that. It immediately started on Twitter. People were like, "What do you give me? What do you give me? What do you?"
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Somebody was going to leak it. Like whether it was a marshal or a volunteer, it was going to get told what it was.
Yeah. So he puts a tampon in his hand, which basically saying, "Ha ha, I hit it farther than you. You're a girl." You know. Because, you know, girls, the best girls cannot hit it further than the best guys. That's just how it is. So, of course, within, you know, hours of it coming out, then it becomes this outrage. Tiger has to have an apology, which I'm mad at him for doing.
Me too.
And
he should have just said it was a joke between friends. End of story.
Yeah, or just say, I'm not sorry. Like, I'm not going to apologize. I'm so ready for somebody just to finally say, do you have anything to say? Nope, it was a joke, and I'm not sorry about it. I mean, I'm just ready for that. Like, Tiger's uncancelable. Like, you cannot cancel Tiger.
No, you can't.
So, anyway, where do we want to go from here?
Well, first off, let me just tell you this. He wasn't saying you hit it like a girl. He was calling him a vagina. That's what he was doing. That's what he was
not
doing.
Even you don't even he have was, to say that.
That's like, what just, he was calling.
He was just saying, "Hey, I hit it further than you, so you must be a girl. So here's something that girls
Number
have
two,
to have."
The double standard is deafening because it was comedy gold when Annika Sorenstam gave Fred Funk a pink skirt and made him play a hole with it after she outdrove him.
Wow!
Nobody saying anything about that.
I don't remember that, but that's pretty sexist.
Yeah,
you know, in my
I mean,
opinion.
That's the thing. And so
here's one.
And the people that brought that up to like the Sarah Spains of the world, that's different. No, it's not. Like, you can't pick which gender you can pick on. You can't pick on men and think it's cool. And then when men pick on women, wait a second, we got to draw a line. That's not how it works. And
it's
he wasn't, by the way, he wasn't picking on women.
No,
he was
picking
picking on JT.
Yeah, exactly. Here's something I thought was funny. It's the people that were offended by that joke are the same people that would defend Justin Thomas if he were to say he actually needed a tampon because he felt like he was a woman.
Yes, because he identified
it's the same
as a
people.
Woman.
It's the same people. It's the same exact people.
The exact same people.
Like, I don't know, man. We're at some point in time, like, people are like bringing his daughter into it. Like, oh, what would his daughter think? I think she'd probably laugh at it.
She's 15. She thinks it's hilarious. That's exactly what she thinks.
She's like, oh, look, dad's picking on JT. Like his little brother. I mean, that is so, like, so far out there. That is so, such a reach of outrage that I don't even really want to entertain it past this. But
it's selective outrage. That's what it
is. I have a box of tampons in my golf bag now. So just get ready, Ben. You're going to be stuffing them, baby. Man, let me hand those things out.
Oh, man, alive. So
I thought that was funny. The ball's on Tiger to do that. At Riviera.
During a round of golf. That shit doesn't happen 20 years ago. He doesn't even talk to his competitors.
No.
The fact that he was actually joking with somebody, like,
fantastic.
You can't out of one side of your mouth say make golf fun, and then he does something that probably 90% of the people thought was absolutely hilarious.
Oh.
And y'all are like, he crossed the line. Can't do that. You can't pick and choose what. No, you can't do that. So
I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was absolutely hilarious.
That's my thought on it. When I wondered what it was when it came out as a tampon, I love the fact that Tampax has tweeted out all kinds of stuff. It's absolutely fantastic.
Good
sales,
or bad?
Their sales increased. Well, they had to they actually – the first thing they tweeted out, they had to take down. So I kept the screenshot because they said that they were sorry that – people were already saying they were offended by what they tweeted. So,
oh my gosh.
They said, "Wow, we never knew one tampon could win Tiger Woods the pip bonus. We're going to need 20% Tiger Woods." That was their first tweet. Then they put the, I mean, it wasn't 5 minutes later, Kyle. We messed up with that last tweet. We removed it and apologized to everyone we offended. Respect is central to our brand values. Recent language did not reflect that. We have learned from this and we'll do better.
Just don't apologize. Just no. Don't. I got news for you. There's never going to not be a time where those are needed.
Like, that's the thing is when they apologize, like, why are you apologizing? You're like Kleenex. You're like the night, like they're going to buy you regardless.
Yeah.
You're
you can't not. Yeah. You're a necessity. So, like, just stop, just say, get over it. Like, can we please somebody, some big star out there, just say, sorry, not sorry. And then just say, get over it and move on. I can't wait for the day. Maybe it'll happen soon. I really thought Tiger would understand that he's too big to fail. And
it would have been
clearly,
so awesome.
Clearly he's too big to fail. Guys, all the stuff he's done, we still yes. love him. And like, what I watched his, you know, I watched every shot that he hit just about this weekend. So like, don't apologize. But anyway,
he slept with 25 women, cheated on his wife, ruined his family. And you know what? We're still watching him.
Yep. And then the next day, was it the next day where there's a girl that's a little girl that had to get a heart transplant, and she had on a sign that said meet Tiger Woods is on her bucket list. And
yep.
And he came up and gave her a glove. Like, clearly, you know, her parents yeah. could have been like, oh, get away from Tiger. I heard that a tampon joke. Oh, my yeah. God. You can't be around him, little girl, daughter.
Yeah.
No, they didn't, because they have a sense of humor, clearly. So
yeah, that's the thing.
Anyway, all right, so, oh, here I saw
By the way, Kyle has a daughter and I have daughters, and we feel yeah. this way. So just yeah. before y'all come at us with that, go, well, what if you had a daughter? Got it. We checked that yep. box.
Got
Thank
one.
You.
Yep. Joke's still funny. All right, even when she will eventually need them, and yes. Ben's probably do need them. So
they already need them. And you yeah, know what? Exactly. Annabelle thought it was hilarious. I showed it to her. She thought it was funny.
Yep. All right.
She goes, so, does that mean he hits it like a girl? And I said, kind of. And she goes, that's funny. And she walked yep. off.
There you go. So, all right, real quick, give a shout out to Primo Golf Apparel.
Yes.
Love those dudes. Love their stuff. You got joggers and so many different colors. Polos, blade collar polos. The hoodies are abs. I've got one on the way already. I don't have a good white hoodie. They got a good one. I got one on the way. I'm excited about it. Use coupon code DADPOD15, DADPOD. Take 15% off your order. Save big. I can't wait to see the hats that come out soon. Hopefully we're going to get some of those. They're great. They're great, man. Be on the cutting edge of the golf fashion, turn heads, feel good when you're playing, feel comfortable when you're playing. It's awesome. Primo Golf Apparel. It's where golf fashion starts today.
Kyle can pull off the blade collars. I can't. I don't know what it is. It's my
I'm
fat
wear
neck
one
probably.
On the next show. I'm going to wear one on the next.
It's my fat neck. I can't do it. Kyle can do it though.
Maybe so. All right. So let's talk Tigers actually playing golf and not tampons, and then John Rahm after that. So Tiger makes the cut on the number, mm-hmm. which is fantastic. He actually thought for a while there, we thought he was not going to make the cut. Like he was,
the you number, thought he didn't. You texted yeah, me.
The
you
number was, dropped back. The number yeah. dropped back. Whenever he finished, he was under the number, and the number fell back. He was yep. he made it on the number, which is great. Me and Ben talked about it. The first 3 days, I felt like, and they showed the statistics. They kept getting better. It looked like speed was there, stamina was there, length was there. He was just rusty. It's just simple yep. scoring. He was just a little bit rusty, but he got better each day. And then today, I think you saw the first signs of, I don't think he was in pain. I think the fatigue got to him. I think the fatigue kind of got to him. His ball speed went way down. The day prior, he had the longest drive of the day in the third round. I mean, I tweeted out, and then I jinxed it clearly because I said, you know, it's day three. He's got the longest drive of the day.
Clearly, stamina's there.
Clearly, the stamina's there. He's going to win again, which I still think he's going to win again. But it waned a little bit towards the end, and he got off to a bad start. And I think he shot, like, what, 75 today, 74 today?
No, he shot just two over.
Two over, which is 70.
He was two under coming in, and he ended up – no, he shot one over. He was 2 under coming in, and he shot. He ended up being under par for the tournament. So yeah,
he straightened was about it one out. Under, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was 1 over. He ended up 1 over on the day.
No, there's a par 71. It's a par 71, I think. So he was 2 over. No, it's not. 37, 36. That is, no, 35, 36. Yeah, it's a par 71. He's 2 over today. Okay, he birdied 16, which is a long freaking par 3. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, played short today. It was 158 today. He birdied that hole a couple of times this week. So yeah. He birdied both par 3. No, he did not birdie both par 3s. He birdied 13 and he birdied 16. Anyway, takeaways. What are your takeaways, Ben, from Tiger?
I think that we need to quit paying attention to the limp. I think with that leg being restructured, I think that's a constant thing. I told you I was really worried about it watching it, because even when he was in the PNC, he was limping, even riding a cart. And I was like, man, how the hell is he going to walk four rounds if he can't even ride a cart and play?
Yeah.
But I think that's just the thing. I mean, when he gets out of his car, like when they showed him walking through the parking lot, limping. I mean, when he's walking on the course, it's hard for me to get that out of my head, that when I see him doing that, I'm like, crap, it's going to be a long day. But yeah. I think that's the thing.
You associate a limp with pain.
Yeah.
But his is not, it's reconstruction. It's not the same leg. It's literally a different leg, so that doesn't function the same way that his old leg did. I mean, I say old leg, you know what I mean? His pre-reconstructed leg. So like the limp, to me, I didn't see anything where I felt like he was in pain. I didn't, like, all week. I never felt like I honestly didn't really feel like there was a whole lot wrong with it.
He never grimaced. I mean? He never like hit something and like grimaced. And you know, that was in that first round with JT and Rory on, it was either 3 or 5, because 4 is the par 3. So it was either 3 or 5. He pulled it left and was on the side of that hill.
Side hill, yeah. He made par.
And, made par, and he climbed down there, had all the weight on that leg because he was leaning back, and it was his right leg that was leaning back.
It was number two.
It was
number two, yeah. He hit a 5 iron like a off a tee.
Yeah.
And out of rough. I mean, it was, yeah. Because I was watching the whole round. So, like, when he did that, I'm like, oh, dear.
Yeah,
like,
here's the first test right here. Like,
early, right out of the gate.
Yeah. And so I did, overall takeaways for the weekend, I think his game is there. I mean, he outscored, look how many pros he outscored that have been doing this every week for the last 2 years, while he has not been doing it any week for the last 2 years. I think the game's there. I think that as he's going to have to play more rounds, and I don't know that he is. After his round with Amanda Baliones, or whatever her name is now, her last name, she's still Baliones on Twitter. She's something else, though, in real life. She said, you know when you're going to see you competitively. And he said, definitely the Masters. You and I guess maybe Bay Hill.
Yeah.
He did mention Bay Hill. And so – when you said a while ago, I think he can win. I think he can win again. I think if all he's going to do is play the majors every year, he's not going to win again. I think he's got to get his tournament game back in action. And that's going to take rounds. And he's
Bay Hill's perfect, though. Bay Hill's like 4 weeks away, I think. Yep. And then the Masters
flat. It's not up and down. I mean, it's
long,
a fairly flat course.
It's long and there's a lot of rough now, but and then like, I think 4 weeks after Bay Hill is the Masters. So it's like perfect. You need to make that happen, Tiger, if you're listening.
You need to see Bay Hill. He wouldn't commit to that today. He just said he was committing to the four majors. That was it. But I think at some point, I think a lot of that depends on how he feels this week. If it comes around Wednesday and he's back on his practice course and he's playing and walking with joy and working on shots again and not in any pain, he may say, all right, I can do this. Like, I can't play back-to-back weeks, but if I can recover this quickly, then – because that was the biggest thing, too. You heard him – that became the topic of discussion after every round, because everybody wants to talk to him afterwards. And, of course, everybody says, first thing they – how you not how's your game, how you feel.
Like, yeah.
They want to know. And so –
please gotta be okay.
Yeah. And see, after, and they got worried too, because apparently on the Pro-Am, he didn't play the last four holes. He got in the cart and didn't even hit a ball, didn't hit a shot. So they were like, oh, man, great. Like, he's not going to make it. And so I think it was just precautionary. I think he was kind of like, this is not worth it. There's no point in me injuring myself in a frigging pro-am. So other than that, the driver is there. He was saying, you know, I just had to hit my fairway finder. If your fairway finder is 311 yards with a cut, I'd say that's pretty damn good. If you can hit it every time at 311, you're going to be very successful. Irons were there a lot. There were some miscues, but I don't know if that had anything to do with wind or maybe even fatigue, especially today, some of the miscues on some of the irons. You could tell he was having a club down. He got weak. This was by far his worst day to watch him play. Best day to watch him play was going to be Thursday for sure.
But it ended up being Saturday. Saturday, he shot 67.
Yeah, Saturday, he had a hell of a round on Saturday.
Yeah.
And, you know, as he called it, plodding along and hitting his fairway finder and just hitting center of the greens and making a few putts. And he would have had a better round Saturday. He missed 8 putts inside of 10 feet. When's the last time we said that with Tiger Woods?
Right, right.
So he could have had a much better round on Saturday than what he had. So, yeah, I think it's there. And I think it also depends on course. I mean, Bay Hill, he's familiar with. So that's another reason I'd like him to play there. Augusta, he's clearly familiar with. I'd like to see him play at somewhere like the Players that he had his AM success at. Plus, he's won the Players a few times. I mean, he knows that course. I'd love to see him play there.
It's not a physically demanding course.
No. So, I mean, I know
he's got to be able to draw it a little bit on a few holes, though. So that's, you know,
that may hurt him. Which he was doing with his 3-wood, though. He can do that with his 3-wood. So yeah. if you can get a 300 yard 3-wood with a draw, then he should be okay. Right. And then, I mean, I know he's not going to commit. I got to think, though, Kyle, depending on how this week goes recovery, he's going to play in more than 4 more tournaments this year. He's going to play in more than just because there's just so many other familiar tournaments that he's associated with.
I'm really thinking, I'm really, really hoping Bay Hill and then one in the summer like Muirfield.
Memorial got moved. Memorial,
Jack's tournament or something like that.
It's warm. I'm sure Jack's family wants him there. So I got to think he'll play in more, but I don't think he was just willing to commit today in that post-round interview. But other than that, he surpassed my expectations. I told you, I said, I just hope he makes the cut, and I hope he stays injury-free. That's all I wanted for this weekend.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happened.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, all right, enough about Tiger. John Rahm's the best player in the world. I don't care what the formula is, and I hope that whatever the formula is, he should be the number one player in the world after this week. He's always there, man. He's always there. Even when he hits a bad shot, he gets a great break. Like I think it was it's either Saturday. I think it was Saturday. It's on the back nine. I think one of the only par fives on the back nine or whatever. He hits it into the grandstands on the second shot, and it bounces out of the grandstands to about 3 feet on the green, makes eagle. That was a shot of the tournament, in my opinion. It was incredible. But
it was either that or that 70-foot bomb he hit today that putt that just completely demoralized his other two playing partners.
I just don't see very many weaknesses in his game, man. He's unbelievable. A lot of fun to watch. He's got length. He's got touch. He can putt. I mean, what can he not do? I don't really know.
They said today they dropped that stat where he's the first player to win this many tournaments in a row to start a calendar year. And I thought they were fixing to say Tiger Woods because I thought he had a hot start 1 year or like it rolled over from the previous year, but it was not. It was since Johnny Miller in the 70s. Like nobody's won this many.
A random Johnny Miller stat.
Yeah, I know. And trust me, if he's anywhere near Twitter, I guarantee you he's liking the shit out of that button right now. He loves for people to talk about him. He's just flawless. I mean, he's another one. Hits a very controlled cut. Hits it out there about 315, 320. His iron game I don't think he gets enough credit for his iron game. And the reason being is because if he's got a 7, 8, or 9 in his hand, it ain't going to be further than 10 feet from the hole. I mean, that's turned out to be his I know they talk about Colin and they talk about
he's not going to miss the green period.
No, he's not even missing the green with four irons. I mean, you know, except at Riviera with those hard ass greens. But other than that, you get him on a green that is going to hold, and he's proven he can hit those long putts. So he's okay with hitting a green and being 25 feet from the hole. That putt to him is the same as having a 10 footer. I think that's the way he looks at it.
I mean, I don't see him slowing down. I don't see him slowing down.
He has no health issues. He was going this hard whenever he got pulled off for friggin' COVID at the Memorial at Jack's place. And he was hot then. And he came back and still won the next tournament. But he just is, over the last 3 years, he's probably the best golfer in the world, period.
Oh, easily. Easily the best. And
even though the official world golf rankings don't have him that way, he is.
I mean, I think he could win. I mean, he's playing. I think he could win two majors this year. Mm-hmm. He's that good, and he's going to be there. So he's going to be there towards the top of the leaderboard. So congrats to John Rahm. He Max Homa dueled him very, very dueled him hard.
Yeah.
But Max bogeys 13, which was a wicked hole that both of them looked to be in trouble. On 13, but I think John Rahm had hit it so far that he kind of, he just got out of, the trouble. Whereas Max hit a tree, knocked himself further out of position, then bogeyed. So anyway, and then John Rahm had two more birdies down the stretch. So it was Max is tough to beat in California, and John Rahm went toe to toe with him and beat him. So. It's crazy. Good. He's amazing. He's amazing. So
if Max keeps going too, and I'll give Max some credit too. He's probably the second best golfer in the world right now, over the last probably 6 months. So I think we'll see those two names a lot in the next.
That U.S. Open could be a rematch.
Yeah, it could.
U.S. Open at L.A. Country Club could be a rematch, which I can't wait to see this place. They talk about it all the time. L.A. Country Club. How fantastic it's going to be and all the changes they've made. Real quick, this is a side note, Ben. So I talk about how I want to wear everything Justin Thomas wears. I got a new guy.
Uh-oh.
Heath Mitchell. I want everything this guy wears.
That is so far from being what Justin Thomas wears.
Dude, no, he is just so freaking classy, classic.
It
got
is.
The vibe. You know what he looks like? He's like Fred Couples in 2023.
Yeah.
That's what he's like. That's what it reminds me of, because he's got the flat bill, high crown visor.
High visor, yep.
Just dude, he can wear some clothes. Keith Mitchell, fired up.
He can bomb it too.
What's that?
He can bomb it too.
He can bomb. Top five finish. He's a name that's starting to get more, seems to be more in the mix lately. Yep. So.
Super quiet guy, birdied 18 to close out and jump in that top five. Was in that final group today with those two guys and handled himself well. He just didn't get the hot start that they did. So he's a 18 at Riv.
18 at Riv could be the most underrated golf hole.
Oh, it's one of the best finishing holes in golf.
Underrated finishing hole in golf. The big hill that's like an amphitheater. The thousands and thousands of people that can be like on top of you on that green, and they're close too. They are super close. Spectacular.
I told you that my two favorite holes on that course are 1 and 18.
Yeah.
I mean, and I guess you could say 10 too, just because that's also a kind of a stadium style. It's right next to 1. But I told you, I said 1, that freaking thing looks like a runway out there, that fairway. I don't know how wide it is, but you could tell it's hard to hit because it just looks so obvious, and they all were missing it. And still, they were doing fine. That was kind of like what you talked before. The rough wasn't that bad, so even when they missed it, they could get to the green in two. But still, Tiger said it best. They asked him, they said, what were you thinking when you were 16? Because that was his debut, was there at Riviera. He said, man, I don't even – he said, all I remember is swinging and looking up and seeing a draw go out there, and it actually hit the fairway. He said, I kind of blacked out just because Everybody was there. Everybody's there to watch you. They're right on top
couldn't
of
feel,
you.
Couldn't feel the club head. Couldn't feel anything. He just looked, and it was a tight little draw going out there to the fairway. So,
yeah. So, awesome.
All right. Speaking of, we're going to talk some, we're going to do a little sort of a would you rather, just a scenario in general. But before we do, we want to talk about Blue Tee's rangefinders. I'm really hoping I didn't lose mine. I played Saturday, and I've been getting really good with the magnet and, you know, on the rail. But, hey, you know what you got to do? You got to pay attention. You may leave that son of a gun right there on that magnet. And I think I got somebody that's got it waiting for me up at the front desk. So, but check them out. Use coupon code DADBOD. Take 10% off already incredible savings. There's no reason to pay $600 for a rangefinder.
No.
You can, you know, you get all the features, the slope toggle on and off for if you play, you know, in a tournament where you can't have slope. You got the buzz lock on the pin. You got everything. It's great. Get them, get one now, save big. They got black, they got blue, they got white, and they got pink. So they got four different colors that you can choose from. Bluetooth speakers, all kind of stuff extra that you can get from that site. So go online, save big, Blue Tee's rangefinders. I don't know. They don't have a catchphrase, so we just love them. How about that? How about
where
that?
Where rangefinders start.
There you go. All right. So here's this is not a would you rather. It's just kind of a scenario. Okay.
Yep.
You know, Riviera is known for number 10, the drivable par four. Drivable par four that over the years, the analytics say, put your foot on the gas and go, like get it close to the green. If you lay up, it's a impossible wedge shot. Watch Justin Thomas try to lay up, and he on the first round hit an iron into the first bunker. So he had to hit like a 120-yard bunker shot to a green that's just impossible to hit anything into. So the scenario is we thought of three drivable-ish short par fours that you got a par. If the highest odds that you feel like you could make a par, I don't know if there's a penalty, just – three very famous short par fours. Which one do you think you stand the greater chance of making a par? So you got, obviously, you got 10 at Riviera.
Mm-hmm.
You got 17 at TPC Scottsdale, which we just saw. And then number three at Augusta, underrated. It's where Scotty sculled one in for birdie and basically flipped the whole Masters this year. Which one do you think you would stand the best chance of making par and why, Ben? If I dropped you out and said, hey, if you make a par, here's $100,000, which one do you pick? How do you play it? Why?
It's got to be 17 at Scottsdale.
Okay.
And the reason being is because of my game hitting a natural cut. There's no trouble to the right. Everything opens up on the right. I will say I can't believe they haven't placed a bunker out there in like a landing area on the right, and maybe they will one day just because
it's a big collection area.
Yeah, that seems to be the bailout. And then the green is fairly flat once you get up there. So if you can just get in that collection area, it's a pitch and putt from there on out. So I feel too with my wedge game. So, and you can do like some people did, and they were taking irons and three woods off. And if it got the green, fine. If it didn't, it was right in front, and they could damn near putt from the fairway just because it's so tight up there. So, I got to go with left is never really my issue. So I'm going with, TPC at Scottsdale just because of how wide open it is. There's too much. I was going to go with Riviera, probably recency bias, but the reason being is, you hit it further than me, so you could clear it. But those friggin' three bunkers, that's where I'm landing. So then I've got to try to hit the green from the sand because that's in my landing area. Do I avoid them? Maybe. I don't know, but still. And that damn green's so hard to hold.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
I mean, even from a side bunker, they showed a guy. I didn't even know his name. They showed him today. He went back and forth three times today. And he was in the bunker three different times by the green because he couldn't hold the green.
Is that the whole Tiger putted one into the bunker?
Yes.
That was four? He putted it into the bunker?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger was putted one into a bunker.
So that lets you know how hard it is.
I don't think that was it. Are we sure that was it?
I think it was 10.
We'll go back and look at it.
It was Friday. It was a Friday round.
It could be correct. It was. It's a 300 and 5-yard par four, and I think it played over par. It may have. Yeah, Max bogeyed it every single day. Max birdied it all 4 days, which is incredible. But it did not. It played right around par. I think it's a tough hole.
You and I probably have a better advantage in that than a lot of pros do, because they're in between club, because it's like 280 to the front. So yeah. I mean, we could hit driver. I'm going to land my driver 250 and maybe roll out. But
there's a bunker there. That's
yeah,
the
exactly.
That's a see.
But you can carry it 280 and you're over the bunker.
Yeah, but I'm not. Here's the way I look at it. I gotta have which hole gives me the most opportunity with both ways of a miss, left or right, that I got a chance where I got a shot into the green, and and odds are it's advanceable. And I gotta take number three at Augusta. There's nothing.
It's pretty wide open.
There is a bunker that should not be in play with the driver. Mm-mm. I could just pound one down the left center of the fairway. Maybe it cuts. Maybe it stays straight. Hopefully it cuts a little bit, because if it doesn't, you got that. You can't see it unless you're there. But the green, you're just so far below the green. It would be tough. But Scottsdale might be a better – let me just say this. I got a better chance. I probably got a better chance at a par at Scottsdale, but I got the lowest chance for a big number, I think, at number three at Augusta. Does that make sense?
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah, because you could go in the water at Scottsdale.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you see water.
If you go left of center at Scottsdale and it doesn't roll on the green, it's going in the water.
Yeah.
Like, that's just exactly how that works. So,
and I'm going to have to start it at the green,
yeah,
and hit a cut. So, which is my natural shot, but you know, sometimes it stays straight. You know, never know. So, so I could have the two way miss. The two way miss is not going to hurt you off the tee, really, other than positioning at number three at Augusta. So, I think I take three at Augusta, which is
an
underrated hole. I think
a lot of it's got to deal with the pin placement too.
Yeah.
It plays easier.
If it's back pin on three, I'm taking 1,000 times. If it's that front left pin.
Yes. That's what I was going to say. If it's back or if it's right on three, you got to take that. You have to take that hole just because it's a flatter area. It's easier for you to – I mean, you throw it up there and you've got more room to work. You can hit the center of the green and it stay.
Right.
You know, TPC at Scottsdale.
And you're below the hole.
Scottsdale, it's a hell of a lot easier when it's on the front. And not for them, because they have to ease up and hit like a 5-wood or a baby 3-wood. But for somebody like me and you, it's totally easy once on the front, because you just flare it out down there in the collection area. You chip it up there and you 2-putt and move on.
Yep.
And I'd say the same thing with Riviera. Like the hole looked like it played easier when it was on that front portion of the green, because when it's on the back, it skinnies up so much that they couldn't get to it.
Yeah.
And stop it. Like, there were guys that were just, they were chipping with 60s and they couldn't stop the ball.
That's
ridiculous.
It's 271. I looked to carry that last bunker before there's the opening to the green. So, it'd be a poke for me to be able to carry it in general. So, more than likely, it's just going to be really hard for me not to be in a bunker, to be in a bunker. So that, and then you're hitting out of a bunker into an impossible green. So, now if you cork one and you carry that bunker on the left side and you can be in that little area between that last bunker and the green, you know, you could do what Tiger did, or you could bunt one up there, hopefully onto the green, and then 2-putt, because you're going to be scared. You're going to be, because you're hitting it. The green looks like this.
Yes.
With two bunkers on both sides, which seemingly the balls run towards both bunkers.
They do. I mean, so it's literally a turtleback green.
It's crazy.
Around the bunkers.
It's crazy. That's good stuff, Ben. We're going to talk a little bit Netflix probably on Wednesday. So y'all hang in there with us. We got the Brooks Koepka episode we got to talk about, and then we're going to just go one by one and have some fun with it. There's one thing Brooks said that I think was the dumbest thing. First of all, he's full of shit, is what it is. And we'll break that down. But thanks for listening, guys. Have a great start to your week, and we will talk back on Wednesday. It's episode 266 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. We're always
stroking.
You've been listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod, always stroking.